Hey, thanks for joining us. You're listening to Living Fountains with Pastor Jim Stewart of Calvary Chapel, Kansas City. Today, our study is in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're in a place where you can grab your Bible and follow along with us, we invite you to do so. And if you'd like more information on Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, you can visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. Now, let's join Pastor Jim for today's study.
Well, we're in chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. So if you'll turn to chapter 12, there's a few things that we can go over and fit into our time together that I think will be profitable for us from the Word and help us to gain further insight into this concerning spirituals, or as we have it rendered there in verse 1 of chapter 12, spiritual gifts. You know, the word gifts there was an addition by the translators. They put that in so that we'd have an understanding. It's not a bad insertion. It isn't just a description of the gifts. And so it's kind of the functioning of the body of Christ with the infusion of the Spirit of God moving through the people of God. And I think that's important to realize that, because sometimes we get so wrapped up in trying to understand what specifically is my gift. And yes, you have specific gifts that God's given you, but God also does this thing where he pours out his Spirit in gatherings, in situations, in circumstances where you and I need an infusion of the Spirit to work through us in a circumstance. That's so important. It's so, so important. And last couple of sessions when we talked about the working of God's Spirit and the gifts of God's Spirit, we kind of did it in an introduction format. So we'll be thinking about the reality that we, one, need the gifts, and the gifts are for today. And we went through the scriptural basis for that. And I told you I would put together an outline, and I am able to do that. I still have not been able to do that. I am able to do that. I've got it in my notes, but I need to take it from that and get it in just a simple format to hand out to you that gives you the scripture references. If you were here, you could write them down. If you want to jump ahead, you can get a CD and you can go back through and because we listed them out clearly to go through it. But the need and the dependency on the Spirit is real. It's important for us to acknowledge that. We need that. We're dependent on God's Spirit to do the work of God. But we need to be dependent on the leading. When we get into Acts, we realize all through Acts, as we study through that, it is the continued work of God's Spirit moving through God's people. So it's a continued work of Jesus Christ here on this earth as Jesus is now moving through you and me, through the body, by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what's happening. That's what's happening today. It hasn't stopped. It's still going on today as we watch it unfolding as God is moving through God's people. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. We talked about that. We talked about the significance of having an understanding. And it's interesting, the five things that Paul talked about are the five key things that we see people are most ignorant about. You know that you are Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. And so this is a matter of the heart, that no one can really express that truly, and that if the Spirit comes upon you, you're not going to start babbling and saying blasphemous things. That would be inconsistent with Scripture. It'd be inconsistent with God's heart. Again, this is review. We talked about these things, and you can go back through and listen to the study on that. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but the same God who works all in all. And that's where we kind of left off. Verse 7 is where we're picking up this morning. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. This manifestation, or to make known, or it is given to you through the Spirit, not for you to have a banner for yourself, but for God to be able to flow through you. And what is the purpose, as it's stated here in the latter part of verse 7? Given to each one for the profit of all. Again, this is the danger in this, is that we start becoming self-focused, because that's our world today. That's how it gets in focus. It's all about one person. It's all about, you know, the individual, instead of seeing it on the big picture of God wants to move through you to be a blessing to others. You know, throughout the Scriptures, one of the things you'll notice is that God wants to bless many, but he works through the few. He wants to move through to get a hold of the masses. He wants to move through you and through me to touch people with the love of Jesus Christ and to encourage them and to be a blessing to them. That's really the heart of God's Spirit as the gifts are being manifested, or these things to make known, or this evidenced working of God's Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To one is given a word of wisdom. So what, when you specifically think of this, and some of us have had a varied exposure. I've had a pretty broad perspective of this in my exposure, and some of you may be in that same spot where you've been in situations and you've maybe seen some of these things where people are, you know, they get up in a service and they may even interrupt what's going on, and they would start to say, thus says the Lord, little children. They go on with their whole spiel, and okay. But was that a word of knowledge? Was that a word of wisdom? Was that prophetic? What was it? And the best way we can get to know whether these things are valid, because I'm all for it. I believe in the gifts of the Spirit. I believe they're for today. I've clearly gone through that as a doctrine, you know, as we went through that's available, that's for today. But the problem that the reaction to the gifts of the Spirit, of why we become so timid and so unsure about it, is because we don't know, because we are ignorant about the operations of God's Spirit. And because of the ignorance, then we shift into a reactionary thing, saying, oh no, that can't be for today, because I, in my mind, can't fully comprehend or understand or know exactly how that works. My biggest concern with that thought process is that comes from a strictly intellectual-based mode. And when you approach God from strictly an intellectual basis, you're going to miss the big picture of who God is. God is the one that spoke. This is out of Genesis 1:1. God is the one that spoke the world into being. How big is your God? Is God able to do something that maybe you just don't quite understand? My goodness, I hope so. Why pray to a God that can't do any more than you can do? That would seem stupid, wouldn't it? To me, it would. God is vast, awesome, powerful. And I think the reality of asking for God's Spirit to move in and through our lives, I think there's just this great misunderstanding. And so there's this reaction. So we set it aside and say, well, yeah, because I don't understand it, it must not be for today. And I just disagree with that. I understand there's plenty of schools of thought out there with that. I just don't see it to be scripturally consistent with the heart of God, or with the move of God, or the way his Spirit seems to work. So this idea of a word of wisdom, let's break them down, look at them a little bit. It's a word that really kind of settles things out. It kind of brings in this settling confidence from God. It's definitely something that's supernatural. A word that settles things in a situation. Not through human means, not through just us or through our thoughts, but something that is supernaturally interjected into a situation. John 8, let's look at Jesus as giving us an example in this. John 8, verse 7. You remember this situation. This was the woman who was brought to Jesus, who they brought to her, said she was teacher. This woman was caught in adultery in the very act. And they said, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned, but what do you say? They're wanting to trap him. They're wanting, because he's the friend of the commoners, they want to trap him. And Jesus, man, look at verse 7. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, he who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first. Be the first one to throw the stone. He who is without sin, I just think that's, they've got this thing, they think they've got Jesus trapped. And Jesus has a word of wisdom. And he says, hey, you guys got this all figured out? the one who's without sin, you throw the first stone then. What a perfect, perfect, perfect word. And then he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And all we can do is kind of look at and think, well, what would it be that he could be? No doubt, there was because they left from the eldest to the youngest. No doubt, he was just writing down maybe some things that not everybody was aware of, or maybe he was writing down a place that would trip a trigger for one of them. Maybe an event. I don't know. But he was writing down something, and they just began to leave because they weren't in a position to throw any rocks. Man, that's a word of wisdom. Acts 15:28, we see a kind of another example of something like this. I just want to give a snippet, a little thought to get your idea, your wheels running on this so that we could see a little more effectively how this might play out. You remember they had a thing called the Jerusalem Council. Remember there was an issue between the Gentiles and the Jewish believers. It's one church. Paul knew that. Peter really knew that. But still, there was just this contention because the Jews were still by tradition following, you know, their traditions and aspects of the law and so on. Even though they understood salvation came through Jesus Christ, they were still kind of hung up on the Mosaic law and functioning that way. And Peter, you know, talked at length with them and brought up kind of some things to think through. And if this is good in verse 20, and again, wasn't that a settling thing that Jesus said? Wasn't that something that he just spoke and it kind of settled things out? Yeah, who's without sin, throw the first stone. Kind of settles the matter, doesn't it? Everybody leaves. Kind of settled things. Well, the same thing here. There's this contention between, you know, what is expected of the Gentile believers and should they be forced to live in a Jewish tradition and lawful way? And they said, well, ultimately said, no, that's just not right. Why would we impose it? Didn't benefit us any, really. This is just who we are culturally, but it didn't benefit us really to speak of in anything as far as salvation would go. So why, we can't even live up to these expectations. So why would we superimpose that upon anyone else? Isn't that great? You ever think about that for yourself? The things that you develop in your mind that makes things right and wrong and what's just so, and that idea that you can develop in your mind. And the, you know, well, we just don't do that. You know, oh, really? Okay. Well, fair enough, but, you know, it's about God's grace and his mercy, and maybe if that's a growth point that needs to be discussed, fair enough. But still, this idea of superimposing the expectations on others that maybe you can't even live up to either. Verse 28 says, "For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things," and then he lists them out. In other words, when Peter stood up, in verse 13 and got their attention, said after in the midst of this kind of debate over it, he says this, hey, look it. He lays out this whole thing from the Lord of how, hey, this we couldn't live up to this. It wasn't what worked anyway. And he brought this word of wisdom that settled the matter. And it seemed good, again, for us as New Testament believers that the Holy Spirit is going to move in that way and bear witness in this thing, and it's going to kind of be a settling thing. It doesn't add more confusion. It doesn't create more conflict. A word of wisdom just comes into a situation. Now, this doesn't just happen in a gathering. See, I think sometimes we think that these manifestations are going to happen only in a gathering of people, of believers, you know, in a church service setting. See, I don't see it that way. These things happen in various situations and circumstances throughout our life, including these. I tell people, when I tell them about our hospitality table over here and the significance of what that means to me as a pastor, that is a very important area of ministry to me. Because as I walk through, I'm not eavesdropping on you. I'm telling you, I'm not. But I can hear things that are just words. Not always, because my hearing's getting worse. So you can pretty much say anything you want most of the time around me, because I probably won't hear it. But as I'm walking along, though, I can hear some of the things that people are praying for other people for. They're talking about victories and struggles in the Lord. There's a lot of ministry going on. I don't doubt that there's some word of wisdom that comes. Now, if you think, oh gosh, I hope I'm the next one to share a word of wisdom, don't worry about that. You know, the Lord is just going to give you insight in a situation as you need that, as it's going to be to the profit of all. Remember, it's not about you. You can set yourself free. It's not about you. It's about God just simply moving through you. A lot of times, you won't even know until way after the fact that someone might come up to you and say, brother or sister, you know that one time we were talking, you won't probably even remember it. And they'll say, the Lord really spoke to me and this is how it played out. And you just high five, glory to God. You know, praise God you didn't know about it, because you might get a wagon and paint it all up and word of wisdom tour you go on, you know? You see what I'm saying? Isn't that our tendency? Isn't that like us to do that? And so, you know, now we're going to put out our little 5-gallon bucket behind the thing and give to the Word of Wisdom ministry. And, you know, it's just the human thing, you know? But so our objective is, man, let's let for the edification to build one another up. The Spirit wants to move through you to bless and help somebody else out. Let's look at another one. The word of knowledge is the next on our list as we go through this today. A word that gives insight to a situation. The first one was a word that settles things in a situation. So it's kind of a settling, calming effect that word of wisdom brings in. Now, a word of knowledge, on the other hand, is one that gives insight to a situation or a matter that was not previously known or could have been known in a natural way. It was not previously known, nor could it have been known in a natural way. Basically, my emphasis on it, my parentheses in my notes was divine revelation. God gave you insight into a matter. John chapter 4, Jesus. He's talking with the woman at the well. They have this dialogue together, and which is just so much in there to talk about, but let's just stay focused. He looks, as he interacts with her, he gets toward the latter part of his dialogue with this gal. And, you know, she says, well, yeah, I want water. Well, yeah, okay, well, go get your husband. Well, you know, I don't have a husband. Okay. He goes on and has this interaction with her about, well, no, you've had 5. And this one that you're living with now is not your husband. And Jesus, divine intervention as the Spirit is moving through him, just brings this out onto the table. It's a word of knowledge. It wouldn't have been known otherwise, except it was revealed. It's amazing how this can happen. These things are not specific to any one person. You may get a word of wisdom one time in a situation and not really know it. You may get, and you may be aware of it. Maybe as you journey along with the Lord, I've found from time to time, I become a little bit more aware of when that might be the case, that God's speaking something. I don't get warm. My ears don't turn red. I don't know anything about it, but just inside myself, I realize, that's not something I'm normally aware of. So that's interesting. Now, sometimes I'll even say, hey, I think this might be significant. You might really tuck this away and think through it, pray through it. If I say that, I would consider it, at least. If someone said that to me, I would consider it. Not in a weird way, but just a way of, hey, this might be insightful. This might be beneficial. This might help you out. But one time it might be a word of wisdom. Another time it might be a word of knowledge. Because these things can move through any believer. These aren't offices held. These aren't specific in that way. These are options that happen to all and can move in and through all believers. These are not independent, and these particular things, these particular, again, manifestations are not singled out for just an individual here or an individual. It can just happen in and through the body of Christ as God wills. Wonderful, interesting. So, Jesus exposes the reality of this gal, who she really was. Now, one of the things I want you to notice is there was no studying of this, there was no investigative stuff done on it, and there was no analyzing of it. It was just something that was known, that was brought out. God's Spirit brought it out in order to minister more effectively in that situation. So again, this idea of, no one should be thinking that, oh, I've got the word of knowledge. That's my gift. I've got the word of knowledge. Not likely. The reality is God manifests that in a needed situation to what? Maybe reveal himself to someone? this list can go on and on and on of what that might pertain to. It might be to an issue that is really creating a lot of trouble for that person. And one of the things that I think you and I need to learn as we explore these things, as we develop and grow in these things, is how to handle these things right inside ourselves. That's what I find, you know, in my journey with the Lord. I'm very visionary. And being visionary is, I have to really be careful when I'm talking to certain people, especially around the office. I have to be real careful, and I try, because I've been in other spots where I've been working with really visionary, other visionary people, and I'm trying to understand, is this something we do something with today, or is this just something we're doing? You know, because when you're visionary, you're just looking out at things and seeing what God might be wanting to do in a situation, in a matter. So you got to be able to, you know, contain that and understand how that moves. And I think that's true of these areas of manifestations of the Spirit. You know, how God works in and through our lives in that way. You remember in Acts chapter 5, when Ananias and Sapphira were talking about, you know, this awesome deal they made on their land sale and how they're giving all the resources to God, you know, and they're going to be as spiritual as everybody else and all that stuff. You remember that situation, right? And it was basically a matter of, it wasn't just that they were lying, but it was the hypocrisy of it all that was really one of the core issues. But what was interesting to me about that is that, again, this was kind of a word of knowledge. And he said, you're not lying to me, you're lying to God, you're lying to the Spirit, man, about this. Dead. Can you imagine? And so God gave Peter for a specific situation, and why... Did God strike people dead then and not strike people dead now? Because you're all liars, and I know that. We all are. Okay, it's happened. We've all done it. Isn't that the funniest thing? You never have to teach your kid how to do that. Isn't that an amazing fact? You never have to teach them how to do that. They just, it's axiomatic. You know? Funny stuff. Anyway, that whole idea is that was revealed in that situation, that word of knowledge, it was given to him. But that was, as Peter did that, why wouldn't God strike everybody dead now? Well, think about it. It was to set, one of the things that you gotta, when you're studying through the word, there are things that are done sometimes to set precedent, to reveal how significant and how serious God is about a matter. All you can do is hope you're not Ananias or Sapphira in a situation, I guess, you know? I hope I'm not gonna be the one that we set precedent with on something like that. But God has been so gracious and so good. But the information was given to Peter to set precedent, to really bring insight into a matter. And look at it, it's recorded in Scripture for us to help us to grow and develop further. Hi, this is Pastor Jim. Thanks for listening today. I know as God's word goes out, it accomplishes the purposes for which he sent it. And I know that sometimes we hear a message like today's message and the Lord really starts to tug on our hearts. And if God's tugging on your heart and you've not been walking with the Lord and you want to get close with the Lord or you want to start a new life with Jesus, it's just a simple prayer away. You know, Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know, without the Lord, we're already perishing. We're perishing in our sin. We need a Savior. We need help. And, you know, I know you know that. I know you're hearing that. I know you're sensing that. And this is your opportunity to call out to the Lord and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. So I'm not talking about being religious. I'm talking about having a relationship, getting to know someone by introduction. And so this is an introduction. I want to introduce you to my friend Jesus, and he wants to make himself real to you. He loves you. He loves this world, and he loves you personally. He knows how many hairs you have on your head or how few you have. He knows what color they are. He knows the color of your eyes. He knows how tall you are. He knows everything about you. The Bible says that he loves you with a perfect love. And he wants you to believe on him and have everlasting life that you can spend all eternity with him. If you would, just pray this simple prayer of faith with me. Jesus, I want to open up my heart to you. Lord, I want to have everlasting life. I want to ask that you would forgive me of all my sin. I humble myself before you, Lord. I know I need you. I know that I've fallen short and sinned in many ways, in many areas of my life. And so I ask that you would just come in and make my life new. I thank you for salvation. I thank you for everlasting life that now is mine in you. I ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit, that I might walk with you and have life abundant. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If you prayed and received the Lord into your heart today, we'd love to hear from you. You can contact us or another Bible teaching church in your area so you may be encouraged in your new journey. If you'd like more information about Living Fountains or Calvary Chapel, Kansas City, simply visit our website at calvarychapelkc.com. If you're in the Kansas City area and you'd like to join us for worship, the service times and directions can be found at calvarychapelkc.com. It's been great spending time with you today in God's Word, and we look forward to you joining us next time on Living Fountains.
Jesus, come.